Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen, here with Louis D'Souza, and returning from an extended stay away, Amy Blackford.
Hey, this everybody.
This is your daily dose of happy. We're so happy you decided to join us today. And Amy, it's been a long 2 month period. Louis and I have enjoyed having our conversations, but every time after we're done with an episode, we say, that was great, but imagine what it would have been like if Amy had been here. The energy would have been that much higher.
Oh, thank you so much. I've really missed it. And I'm glad, though, that I took the break because the move,
moving,
the high contrast
yes.
that I experienced. So, number one, I now have the answer to the question, the slow move or the quick move?
Oh.
I will indefinitely say moving quicker is way better. So I've never moved like this before. So it was a slow move, 2 months. And by the end, me and my husband were definitely done with it. Like, we got just to that point of like, okay, we got through this. And now we're settling in, and it's just the magic of putting the house together. And all of that momentum is really built. So although it was stressful, we kept coming back to, this is so worth it. So yes, it's exhausting. And there's a lot going on right now, but it's a small price to pay for the overall benefit.
So what you're talking about reminds me of the old question about, is it better to rip the Band-Aid off or pull it off slowly?
Yeah, definitely better to just rip it off.
Yeah, I've always thought that, yeah.
Yeah,
but ripping
so now
off
I've
slowly,
proven that's it empirically.
Like that's like for masochistic people. Let's see how much I can really hurt myself.
Yeah, that's and this also gave us the opportunity to see how much stuff we have.
Yeah.
And we are actively donating and cleansing. And it's actually very beneficial because I never want to put myself in this position again. It's just too much. And I can see how it weighs a person down, you know, just looking at all of it and just the amount of stuff we were buying because we didn't even know. I had like 500 boxes of tea. I could have
okay.
a tea party till like, you know, the end of time and not get through it all. So it's things like that. That I'm
wait,
like,
where
wow.
did you hide them? That's what I'm wondering.
Oh, in cupboards. I found them in the strangest places. So it's really facing just the overconsumption of things and being willing to release those things, which is
That's
really good.
Feeling.
I love it. It's a wonderful feeling.
Out of
course,
date.
The best feeling.
Out of date.
Yeah, exactly. Even with my clothing, I donated over half of my closet.
Out of date.
Wow. Out of date.
Okay. And then I put everything in bags, brought it into my new closet, and was like, there's so much more that I don't want. And so my theory is I'm going to leave everything in those bags, and whatever doesn't come out within the next like 4 to 6 months is going.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can't make a decision on them.
Yeah. If I haven't worn it in the last 4 or 5 months, I'm probably never going to again. And it's clutter, you know.
That clutter.
So yeah,
can
the
move's really
gone beautifully.
Too.
The new home. It's just amazing to be reunited as a family.
Nice.
Me and Lance have not lived together in 11 years. And so it's just that recognition that we both needed that time apart in our own space, but now reuniting, we have a deeper appreciation for the partnership and all the value that has.
That's a pretty unusual part too of your life story because not many people are married, divorced, separate that long and then come back together again.
Right. Yes. It is a very unusual story and it renewed my faith in true love, honestly, that we still loved each other even when the label changed.
That's really something. That's
Thank
great.
You.
Yeah. And it shows you guys had to have been doing work on yourselves too.
Oh,
yeah. In order to make the new relationship work. Otherwise,
yeah,
the
entire reason that we got divorced was we recognized we met so young and that we had started basically taking each other for granted and had slowly started losing ourselves within the partnership. And now we had to, instead of blaming each other, it was about I need space to reconnect to me. because I can't be a partner, the best partner to you, if I'm not taking care of myself. So it came from a very authentic place, and I had to release, where is this going to go? And I'm so glad it came full circle.
Yeah, really good. That's fabulous. And it's inspiring too. I mean, there are a lot of people who kind of wish that that would happen, that there was some way that their old relationship could work again. You found a way to make it work again. So you are an inspiration to some people.
Thank you.
How about that?
I love that.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And meanwhile, Louis is sitting there with a palm tree behind him, as he usually does, just basking in the beauty of the surf and the blue sky.
I love it.
And I got to ask you, where is that in London anyway? I didn't know which part of London that was in.
My backyard, didn't you know?
It's in backyard, okay.
Great answer. That's right.
My digital backyard.
That's fabulous. Excellent. Well, we actually had a couple of emails from the discussion Louis and I had last week about vaccines, pro-vax,
yes,
anti-vax, and so forth. And I wanted to share them with you because they were pretty cool. And one of them actually had a question for us to discuss. So I'm going to go to the longer one first, which does not have a question. It was basically all the different things that Deborah, who wrote in, appreciated about what we talked about. But she says, many thanks to both you and Louis for the fascinating discussion on yesterday's show. Also, very remiss of me not to have thanked you both for the in-depth answer to my question last week. It was very much appreciated. Yesterday's show, this was last week, of course, took me to so many fascinating places, it's hard to know where to begin. So please forgive the length of this message. Firstly, the discussion of Carolyn Mace's work, I believe that's the correct spelling, M-Y-S-S, was so interesting, and it very much brought to mind a show you did a couple of years ago. I think it might possibly have been with Joel, in which he described the placebo effect, giving the example of a friend of his who had been misdiagnosed with a terminal illness and within a week was in such a physically debilitated state, he was on the point of dying and was then told that he had been misdiagnosed and made a complete recovery. The energy work of Dr. Mace is, of course, reminiscent of that of Rita and Linda, who do the Friday show with me. How wonderful to have your two very own exponents of this massively important and interesting area. Of course, as they are always saying, we all have this innate ability and will eventually realize this as they are always encouraging us to do. And yes, of course, the pro and anti-vax stances reduce us to such an elemental duality when we should be pro-probing, in quotes, as you so eloquently put it. And yes, energetically, it makes total sense that the vaccine would work for those who believe in it. And likewise, Louis was right in that energetically, we should also be able to counteract energetically the effects of anything that is physically put into us. Maybe I shouldn't be arguing for my limitations, as Abraham might say, and voicing that. This is a stumbling block for me because I don't feel that my vibration is such that it could yet dominate the fear that not having a choice in the matter generates within me and the feeling that our body sovereignty should not be assaulted. Another thought the discussion generated was that of us as the microcosm of the macrocosm, which in and of itself is a whole subject area. We ought to consider that one sometime. I also feel that medical doctors should be recompensed for not giving out drugs. That's an interesting idea. I worked as a professional diver for years in Mexico and was horrified at the amount of drugs that fit young people, the vast majority from the U.S., put down in their medical waivers. They fairly rattled as they jumped off the dive boat. The U.K. is, of course, slavishly following suit. And yes, it is inconceivable, yet true, that we put our bodies in the hands of medical doctors who, to cite just one area, nutrition, are following a tiny amount of advice based on an outrageously erroneous food pyramid. Interesting point. Just the fact that the health industry could ever be conceived of as a business model based on profit is in and of itself totally mind-blowing. Okay. I love Louis' example of the book, Dead Doctors Don't Die. That one got through Louis. So interesting that even such an advanced creator as Louis still has physical issues to overcome. Even Esther has her own. Of course, we all do. We are still within this dimension. And that's also a big part of the beauty of being here, that sense of excitement that Louis expresses so powerfully, because on this physical plane, we are all taking such baby steps. What there is for us to learn and to experience is beyond our current comprehension, which is very bloody exciting. And then she cites an Abraham excerpt that she loves that coincidentally speaks about eyesight And I'll pass that along to you, Louis, because you asked about ways to improve eyesight. She says, finally, I guess ultimately it all comes down to trust that everything is working out for me and for all of us, as Dave Strickle would say, this on this weekend break here on this beautiful earth. And then she says, argh. Sorry, it's so long, but you can see you inspired at least one listener, and huge appreciation as always, Deborah. So how about that, Louis?
Brilliant. Thanks, Deborah.
Yeah.
So a lot to get around if we wanted to cover bits and pieces of that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I'm sending that YouTube link to you through the chat that we have.
Oh, that'll be great for the eyes. Yeah. No, I really am looking for improvement of the eyes. And, you know, one of the things is not to harm them too much. So,
yeah.
You know, too much screen time is a bit damaging.
And, this is true.
I tend to do a lot of screen time.
Well, especially in the era of COVID, it's kind of a normal thing these days.
Yeah. It's quite normal for a lot of people to do, you know, somebody was saying, a mom was saying, you know, don't worry about your kid. They're going to be doing more screen time if you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, everything's pretty much back to normal in the UK at the moment. So we're going to the health clubs and, you know, able to do lots of things. There's a few restrictions, but not too much at the moment. So hopefully the numbers stay okay for Christmas period, which is what we were all kind of looking for.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's great. Yeah. The U.S. has got issues going on right now, although Connecticut, we're doing fairly well compared to other parts of the country. So we're kind of in the same state you were in right now. We've been in this state for about 5 or 6 months, something like that, after our lockdown. So we're hoping it's going to stay that way, but we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm not going to worry about it one way or another.
Right.
I just really wanted to thank Deborah for the, you know, actually listening, understanding, and commenting on the different aspects, because I really love that aspect. placebo, as I've said before, the study of placebo for me is all about the study of law of attraction, and they should really replace the word placebo with, let's see if the law of attraction works or doesn't work.
Boy, wouldn't that be a breakthrough? Oof.
Wow. Yeah, I mean... Because I really want somebody who does the study to come on and say, you know, it isn't the law of attraction, or it is, or, you know, just argue with me on that point. It would be very cool. But to me, the study of placebo or nocebo is precisely that. It's really, does thought manifest what you believe, you know?
Apparently the speaker's corner hasn't done enough for you yet. You want to bring it on to the show, so I understand, you know.
Then microcosm and macrocosm, that is a very, very nice topic to touch on at some time.
Yeah, we should write that one down.
Very That's much agree one. With that. Sorry, I wrote down
right
a few
here.
Things. Yeah. And drugs, yeah. Yeah, I touched on drugs last time and a few other times, but it still amazes me that people don't really get that they have the biggest pharmaceutical drug making company or machine at their disposal on their fingertips all the time.
Literally.
The human body.
In fact, that's where the fingertips are connected.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, even connecting the fingertips affects the chemistry in the body. And you know,
I love it.
A lot of the praying and all the rest of it, there's a reason you put your fingertips together. And, you know, well, once you start understanding even these small methods of changing the chemistry in your body, it's amazing. You know, you start not needing pretty much all the drugs that somebody's giving you. Plus, there's zero side effects. Plus, you're empowering yourself. You don't have to go and buy something or go away from yourself
to
heal and all the rest of it. So it's very exciting for me to see people kind of getting the penny dropping that they can control certain degree the chemistry in their own body, and you know, just smiling, even if the fake one, gets your endorphins working, you know?
Yeah. It's true.
Did you know that?
It's true.
Even a fake smile. Go, guys, smile.
just the act of pushing those muscles up in your face actually kicks off endorphins. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
And you know, once we start understanding all these things, we can start putting them all into practice. And really genuinely smile at people so that we not only get the benefit of the fake smile, we get the benefit of feeling good about smiling at everybody who passes us and all the rest of it. So, yeah. I see there's a little chat link here. Is that from you, Walt? Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's
the YouTube video.
That's the YouTube video for you, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I thought somebody was giving us a live message on Zoom, but...
well, you know, it is in a sense, you know.
Yes. Thanks, Deborah. Yeah, so, but what was the highlights? I just wanted to go to be there. I like calling you B.
That's fine. I like it.
What was the most challenging part of it, and how did you overcome it, of the move?
The most challenging part of the move
mm.
was just the stress of dealing with the amount of things that I had while also contending
That was the biggest thing. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And just the physical aspect of it. I was, you know, basically working 14 hours a day, moving, packing things, and then also managing our company, which we're getting like 200 submissions per day right now.
Submissions for work?
Huh?
For work, for different
yes.
projects.
Wow. For our fireplace company.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
My husband and I, you know, I manage the office, and he is one of the lead technicians. And it's the most busiest we've ever been. And it's
wow.
always quite
wow.
busy. So, and then finishing my novel all at the same time. It was a lot of different moving parts. And it was very physically demanding.
Yeah. I'm glad that you've taken the time to do a podcast with us with that schedule. I mean, that's intense.
Oh, well, I felt ready for it because things are starting to calm down and the stress levels have actually gone down. Honestly, me and Lance were quite impressed at the level of stress we were dealing with. We handled it beautifully. It was like we would have stress, but then we would counteract it with appreciating the shift and all of the gifts that we were getting. So that's one of the best ways I've found to manage stress is understanding it's just a change. And whether it's a positive one or a negative one, we seem to process it the same way. So just seeing and acknowledging and focusing more on the benefit and the magic of what's happening as opposed to the temporary work to get there made all the difference in the world.
You know, Amy, when I was a student, they were redoing the library. It was a huge work, a huge new building going up. And the constructors, which I was hugely impressed with in South Africa about 30 years ago. They would put up a huge sign saying to these intellectual university students, they were saying the inconvenience is temporary and the improvements are permanent.
Yeah, I love it. That's exactly right.
And it has just rung to me that the guys had enough wisdom to put up this huge sign for these students to encourage them to deal with the work that was going on around
right.
them and to realize that they're going to have a nice new library to play with afterwards. It's kind of like a philosophy that I've kind of used again and again in life, you know. The inconvenience is going to be temporary, but the improvements are going to be, you know, permanent.
Well, and I've also found the things that I really work for and challenge me when I actually attain it is so much more gratifying than the things that just come really easily. For me, that's my take on that. I find a great amount of gratification in that.
I like the fact also that when you were describing this, you talked in terms of appreciation. And the reason I like that is there's sort of a kind of a lighthearted discussion that goes on appreciation, gratitude, which word do we go with? And I was realizing over the weekend that we actually use those words in two broadly different cases.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Appreciation is usually about stuff that's happening to us or happening
right.
within our lives. Gratitude is usually something that we're expressing to somebody else.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. And I'm not really sure why that's even significant, but I couldn't help but notice the pattern. I thought there's something to that. I haven't quite figured out what that is. So I thought I'd bring it up just to see if you guys had noticed anything about it.
The way that I feel about those two words, gratitude almost feels like I didn't expect something good to happen and I'm grateful for it. Whereas appreciation
is a surprise aspect. There's a surprise aspect.
Right. And where when I say appreciation, it's my focus that is appreciating what's there. And I expected it to be there. And I appreciate that it's there. So that's, I definitely like the word appreciation more. I think it resonates more strongly with me for that reason.
I'm definitely an appreciation fan.
You appreciate appreciation? Is that what you're saying?
I appreciate appreciation, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you say that.
You like it that somebody agrees with you. Yeah, I mean, we often do, don't we?
Absolutely.
And not needing that is a powerful place to be at. Yeah. I had some great sauna discussions the last 2 days, and there's so much I wanted to bring up. But, yeah, just I was talking just before the show, for those who weren't on the call before then, nobody was besides us. But we were chatting a little bit about a South African lady I met, and want to get her on the podcast maybe next week. We'll see if that can happen. But her life story was quite fascinating. She's had so many different things happen to her. And, you know, I'd love her to share some of that. But I had an Irish guy there with a friend, and he just loved what I was saying, so much so that he shook my hand, got my name, you know, and said I must really talk to his friend here. And by the time I was finished with his friend, which was really a very good, nice discussion, he was saying, you know, it's Sunday, but I feel like I've just gone to church. I was laughing, and he was laughing, and it was just like, okay. He was like, oh, okay. I didn't expect to have such a deep conversation. I said, what is a deep conversation? And then when they broke it down, the other lady was also chatting. It's like, oh, it's just things that I hadn't really spent much time thinking about. That's what right. Deep means. And, I just have great conversations anywhere and everywhere. It's just so much fun for me.
Sounds like it was a great weekend at the First Reformed Sauna of London. I mean, that was pretty cool.
Praise the source.
Oh, my goodness.
Scary, I know.
Speaking of stuff to be appreciative of, I had a second email. I wanted to bring that one in. This is also in regard to the topic we talked about last week. And this is from Barbie. She also has a question in it. So this will give us more stuff to talk about. This is, again, about the question of vaccines. She says, I want to thank you for your diligence. Thank you also for the rampage of gratitude last week. Great job. That's in reference to the video we put together for Thanksgiving. She says, can you and Louis expand on the thought behind not taking the new vaccine as it rolls out? If it gives people a percentage chance of surviving COVID, why would it be something to decline or push off taking? This is not the first I have heard this point of view, but I still cannot understand it. I'm surviving COVID and vaccine either way, but I want to understand that perspective. So thank you very much and stay healthy. What do you think?
Amy?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So my thought on that is, first of all, you know, the vaccine requires human trials. And so this is a new enough vaccine that the people that take it are signing up for that. And the vaccine isn't even going to be available to the general public until like June 2021. It's going to be first distributed to the medical field where they are basically risking their lives every day to combat this. So people that are at the highest risk are going to be offered the vaccine. So people, why would they consider not taking it? It's because they don't feel that they're at a high risk. And they don't want to take that chance. They don't feel.
They don't want to be chipped with a tracking device. Yeah.
Then there's the conspiracy theorists, which I'm not going to delve into because I don't care to. Everybody has a right to their own perspective. But to me, the reason most people do not listen to their own intuition. And so there is no right or wrong answer. If you feel intuitively that you should get the vaccine, you should get it. If you intuitively feel that you should not, you should listen to that. Everybody's body is different. And everyone has that intuitive innate intelligence within them. And every time I have ignored that voice and went to my physical mind out of fear and went against it, I'm always shown that I should have just listened to that voice. And so the best way to navigate this is quit thinking that although we are a collective, we all are individuals, and we have to take ownership for listening to our own internal guidance system, because it will never leave you. It will never lead you wrong. And I know this is a hard concept for some people to grasp, but really think about that. So if you feel compelled to get it, there's a reason for that, and you should listen to it. And if you don't, you should listen to that as well.
Interesting point.
Instead of basically being inundated with all of the polarized data and you're trying to figure that out and basing your decision on what other people are telling you, that is not the way to make your life path unfold in the best way possible. The best way possible is to tap into what we call the higher self, which I compare to my eternal GPS. It knows the quickest, fastest route to get me to the place that I want to go if I just have trust in it. If I don't trust it, I'm going to detour. I might end up driving off the mountain. I don't know. I don't know. And so I would rather place my faith in this power that is always proven to guide me correctly over the level of insanity that is currently happening on our planet. So in order to remain sane, you got to turn more inward than looking for your answers in the external, because there's so many opposing views.
Come on, Amy, your doctor's always right. I was waiting for that reaction.
Yeah, I will not be signing up for the vaccine because I do not feel compelled to do so. But that's my perspective. That's how I feel. I'm not saying that's the right way. It's the right way for me.
Right way is whatever feels best. I mean, if it feels good to you to take the vaccine, take the vaccine. If it doesn't feel good to you, it feels better to not take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine. Which one feels better? It's the higher vibration.
Right.
There's a slight challenge there for parents.
There is, no doubt.
I can ask my 12-year-old, how does it feel for her to take the vaccine? Then she can give me her answer. But my 5-year-old, I have to make the decision for her.
Yeah.
And to feel for another individual is even though it's your own child, is a little different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm quite keyed up on what I need and what I want, where I want to go, but not necessarily 100% sure where my child needs to be or go. You know, you can get signs and you can kind of feel, but it's still they're very much their own universe, their own person.
Right.
Even at the age of 5. So yeah, it's to me, it's easy enough to make my decision. And I would be happy taking it or not taking it, interestingly enough. If I take it, I'll do Jinshin to negate the fix. If I don't take it, then I know, because of my incredible skill and understanding of the body and healing it, I feel I've already had COVID and I've dealt with it once already in my estimate. And you know, with Jinshin, it was very, very easy for me, but it did feel incredibly alien. I had it in January last year before there was a lockdown or,
right.
You know, it was only just coming out that the stuff was all there. So, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. I would agree with you, Amy, completely. People should tune in and make a decision based on that. Would be
and I 100% can understand that is a very valid perspective of when it comes to your child and they are not able to navigate it and have that their own intuition about it. My kid is 19. And he feels very strongly. We're at low risk. He doesn't leave the house. He homeschools. He works from home. And so he just doesn't feel compelled yet. But when he does, I'll take him to get it if he wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a different situation.
That's the, relaxed attitude of, you know, prepare to change your mind at a later stage.
Absolutely.
You know, there's nothing needs to be fixed in stone and all the rest of it. But it was very interesting. I was watching a House of Lords discussion where the guy came up and said, how dare you even start talking about the idea of insisting everybody takes this thing? He says, if you want to do this correctly, you line up all of us guys in the House of Lords and our loved ones, you give it to us. And when we rave about it, then you can think about giving it to the entire nation, but not before that. And I was like, yes, I like that. This guy's got some common sense.
That's funny.
That's good.
I was very impressed with the individual. I mean, I'm not into all these guys, but I just saw the short video somebody sent me, and it's like, yeah, I like this. This guy's got his head, you know, really screwed on.
Yeah,
and
funny.
You need to trust it yourself. You really need to trust it yourself before you can start telling everybody else they must do it. He said only 1% of the population is affected by this. Why would you think it's valid to insist everybody takes it now? Why?
Right.
Well, plus also there's another consideration that, like Amy was saying, they are trying to manufacture as many doses as they can, but they're not going to be able to cover the entire population
no.
for a while.
Nope.
No. You have to take two for it to be effective, and yeah. There's too many people. There's people that won't get it for years. So it's going to be a trickle down. This isn't like, the vaccine is going to come out, everybody, and this is going to be over. So you have to kind of prepare for that. It's going to be a journey.
I'll tell you what, though. I honestly believe, and I brought this up with Louis. I can't remember if it was on the show or not, but I have this very strong suspicion that the people who, beyond the highest risk people, and they're certainly important, beyond them, the people who are going to want the vaccine first, regardless of whether they understand how vibration works or law of attraction or conscious creation, the ones who are vying to get it the most are going to be the ones who feel like they need it the most.
Exactly.
Which is basically them saying, that's where I feel better.
Right.
And because of that, I really believe that within a couple months or so of the vaccine being given out to significant numbers of people, we're going to see a huge plunge in the incidence of the disease. Just absolutely huge. I mean, it's going to be down to a minimal level very quickly.
Based around belief.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yes, I have the same. I was actually just talking to one of my friends last night about this. I said spring 2021, I feel like we're going to see a huge shift, and I just feel it intuitively. So I've really not been afraid of the actual virus. I've been afraid of seeing the level of polarization that it was causing. But then I quickly realized that this really put a spotlight on how much we all need to be working together, as opposed to trying to be right, trying to force our perspectives on others. So I see a time coming when this is actually going to unite us more.
Well, it could be. Certainly, there's all kinds of possibility for improvement, shall we say, in that area. I would suggest the idea that it's actually going to play out in a much more, I'll call it a jagged way, just because I'm drawing upon something that Cindy Chavez once pointed out. We often think in terms of like being a conscious creator, and we're going to have this nice increasing curve in our lives, right? And everything's just going to get better and better and better and better. But what actually happens is that the curve goes jaggedy, jaggedy, jaggedy like that.
And high
that's
contrast.
Really what's going to happen. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Right.
You see a long-term curve that's all jaggedy. Oh, yeah, there is an upward trend there. Right. Okay, I get it now. But only after it's been running for, you know, X period of time do you even notice it.
You can only expand so far, and then you have to dip back down to shoot back forward. It's part of the Earth challenge.
Playing with contrast.
That's it. That's exactly it. Well, but because of that, I think, I want to bring in a question that's kind of associated with it, because scientists talk about this idea, this concept of herd immunity, and there are differences in opinion among them as to when it kicks in. It sounds like the consensus is somewhere around 60 to 75% of the population gaining immunity. And then at that point, the entire population becomes immune. And I can't honestly say that I have enough information about herd immunity to really know exactly what it even means to say the words herd immunity, but it does sound energetic to me. So I just wanted to bring that in and ask you guys, do you see the same kind of energetic connection that I'm seeing there? Cause it sounds to me like it's like the entire population of the earth, basically sharing information in ways that you can't easily measure. Other than by looking at what an overall population does, but you can't, it's not easy to see where the information is being transferred from individual A to individual B because it's being done in some way that scientists haven't been able to identify yet.
Right. Well, I think energetics is a huge part of this. I mean, it's just the way it works. If energy is, you know, creating everything, our thoughts and emotions towards things, it's going to play a huge role in how, you know, things manifest.
Yeah, that's true. And indeed, I would also say that the concept of herd immunity, it reminds me of the studies that have been done with, and I never remember which species of monkey it is, rhesus monkey?
Yeah, I think I'm it's a sure. monkey. Yeah, that story I heard.
Yeah, where you have two different populations on two different sides of the planet, and the researchers interact with one population and the other population responds to the interaction. And, you know, how do you explain that?
Yeah, wow.
Well,
you can't.
not through our traditional methods of explanation, let's put it that way. But that's where I start to believe that there's I'll call it communication via source energy, for lack of a better term. I think that's what's really going on there.
So if you look at the way Carolyn Mace has kind of worked it out, it's like said, AIDS is to do with being abused and, you know, not understood, et cetera, et cetera. And you look at the different populations around the planet who have had it the most, it seems to agree with her whole philosophy. And then when you look at COVID-19, it's affecting people with respiratory. And if you have a look at all the dimensions of that, you can – Carolyn Mace has probably already come up with some idea of the thought structure that's going on in the background based on where or why this is happening now, to what kind of demographic, et cetera. So if we just get more confident and more centered and more aligned, we're going to be a lot more resistant to a lot more things.
Yes.
So instead of trying to fight of all these different variables out there, if you just focus on getting your alignment going, getting your alignment going, getting your alignment going, understanding clearly what the word alignment means and apply it to your own life, I think you're going to be so much more bulletproof than anybody else out there who is not in alignment and not focusing on that aspect that, you know, and it's simple. How simple is it to focus on alignment? How happy does it make you feel? How clear does it make you feel? So you really get to that place where, you know, let's do alignment and let's not focus on all these other things. Let's not put any attention to them, because we know what the law of attraction is going to do to it all.
Yeah. Bring it right to you.
So, you know, we can now talk about it, because in the beginning it was very emotive. Remember, we had whole sessions of not even mentioning COVID-19 at all, which I really liked, but now we're at a place where it's a lot more balanced. A second lockdown, people aren't taking it that seriously. And, you know, not that as worried as they were before. So, you know, it's a progress, aspect, but looking at alignment will protect you from so many vibrations that can access your aura through the holes of your fear and worry.
How's it is your best protection.
You know, they often say that smokers create holes, literally physical, auric holes, that these people who can see auras can actually see the holes that smoking creates in the aura. And, you know, if you've got this clear, strong aura, which you clearly focused and know where you're going, what you want to do, and you're pretty content with your life and you're focused on achieving new and better things for yourself, then, you know, that automatically protects you.
It does.
It's like your own personal force field, and it literally is literal. It's, you know, you can think of it figuratively, but that is the force field that surrounds you. And you know, you've created enough gaps for some contrast to slip in, believe me. You don't have to worry about, you know, becoming boring or something like that. It's, you're still going to get those bumps coming in. But, you know, they might be on the more positive scale. You might be going from hope to expectation or expectation to clarity, et cetera. So, you know, I just want to encourage people to play more on the higher end of the emotional scale rather than the what humans call the negative emotions.
I have to admit, I am both amused by and guilty of being one of the people who, how do I say it, who prefer to remind people that it's not a good idea to always be wanting to avoid contrast. Is that the best way to say it? I'm not sure if that's the best way to say it. I say that I'm amused by it because it's not like there's any lack. We don't have a contrast shortage.
No, we don't have a contrast shortage at all.
And we're not going to have
none of us.
So
and
it's almost
that's the design of the physical universe. It's really well designed.
I mean, it would get pretty boring if there wasn't contrast.
Yeah.
But it, even if you try, that's the thing. That's why I always am kind of amused by even my own attempts to make the point, because it's kind of like beating your head against a dam and expecting that you're going to be able to break the dam with your head. You probably break your head first.
Yeah.
Because
there's no probably there.
I mean, you know, trying to even consider the idea of I'm only going to be in a non-contrast place. Everything is going to be wonderful in my life. Go for it. Why not? You can't go wrong.
Boring.
Yeah. Snooze fest.
But my point is, even if you try to do it and you try to, and let's say you achieve the snooze fest, guess what? The contrast is going to show up anyway.
Yes,
you can't avoid the contrast. It's there. Deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a lot when I was younger, Walt and Amy. I heard a lot about you must be in balance. You must be in balance. My mother said it quite a lot. And I kept on thinking of a pendulum swinging. Yeah. So if you're in balance, you're always in the middle. And I thought, no, that's boring. I don't want to be in the middle all the time. You know. This doesn't sound right. And what does balance mean? What does balance mean? And, you know, you really start coming to the idea that you do want to do the contrast, but you want to play it, you know, basically, or higher up the emotional vibrational scale. You really want to play it up there rather than, you know, from depression to revenge, you know, you'd rather play the contrast at a higher level. And until Abraham Hicks came and explained that process, it was totally eluded me of what it actually meant. And I had no concept that this was the reality of what kind of balance meant. It means playing with it in the higher vibrational area where you going from hope to expectation is not that painful, but it is a big vibrational jump. Make no mistake, from hope to expectation is huge. It's huge.
And by the way, just to carry on the analogy of the pendulum, if you have a pendulum on a grandfather clock and it's just hanging right in the middle, that's a stopped clock. That's a clock that's only right twice a day.
Never to go again, and the old man died. 90 years without suffering. I do like that song.
I could tell. But that's the point. The point is, okay, let's say you can find a way to stop the pendulum. You sure you want the result?
Yep.
I don't think so.
Be careful what you wish for.
Here we come.
Yeah, right. I mean, who is it? It's David Strickle, The Stream of David. The Stream of David points out that life, because of its duration compared to the length of eternity, is like a weekend vacation. You know, so do you want the weekend vacation to be over early? That's really what it amounts to.
you know, the intelligence, I was looking at a beautiful cherry-like tiny a tree that has these beautiful cherry-like things with black bottoms and was beautifully created, and the water was dripping off the bottom, and I just stood there as I was waiting to pick up my daughter, and I was looking at them, and I'm looking at them, and I was like, wow, the amount of intelligence and creation and design of getting this looking like this, so beautiful, so perfect, so, you know, is way beyond anything that I've ever dreamt of. My little intelligence of what I know on this call and, you know, what I've learned my whole life is nothing compared to the design of this tiny little beautiful red, I don't know what it was, a fruit or what it was, but it's probably one of those flowers that looks beautiful at this time of the year, which is very cold. But, you know, you start realizing just by staring and looking at things for a while, the incredible amount of intelligence and understanding. You just look at an ant and what it does and how it does it and the design of it and the way it can carry such something that's so much heavier than it and the way it stores it and all that knowledge and understanding and the movement. And, you know, who designed these things? And even the human body, it's just...
Yes.
You know, there is an intelligence and a knowledge out there that is way beyond anything we've ever thought. And in one cell of the ant stores, and in the body stores the knowledge of the whole, which we go into the microcosm and macrocosm aspect. You know, inside that microcosm, you've now got the knowledge or the awareness of the whole, of all. So, you know, when somebody says to me, you know, Jesus was the Son of God, I said, you know, so am I.
Right.
And, you know, the way I kind of explain that is, you know, in every cell understands the whole. So in the microcosm, it understands the macrocosm. So in each one of us, there is the spark of God, which makes us the sons and daughters of all, because we're the spark of it. So, you know, once you start getting into that microcosm and macrocosm and the information contained in it, it's just awesome. There's dimensions that you haven't even dreamt of.
One of the things I like to
interesting conversation.
One of the things I like to remind myself about is my belief, and I think similar to your beliefs, that we are a part of God. God, if as I conceive it, is the entire collection of all source energy, and we are source energy, so we yes. are a part of it, which means we helped create all this stuff.
Absolutely.
And I love that. I don't have God to Walt, understand. Eh? I don't have to understand how it all happened. I don't have to understand, you know, how all that stuff came together. All I know is I am source energy, and therefore I played a role in that creation. And I continue right. to play a role in that creation.
And you're here as an expression of that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that to me is a very empowering thing.
Yes.
It's much more empowering than think of it as something that happened outside of myself. I'm part of it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think we're all on the same page with that one.
Yeah, I think so too. It's so much better than what I was taught growing up, I can tell you that. I think that's why I like to reference it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, if you use Abraham Hicks's yardstick, you say, which one feels better?
Right.
Exactly. I'm always going to choose what feels better.
It's not a difficult choice.
It's not a very difficult choice.
No, it's really not. You're having a thought and you're just, it doesn't feel good. It's like, how about we just quit thinking that? Sometimes yep. it's more challenging than others.
You know, the way I like describing this whole macrocosm and microcosm is, let's say you've got an acorn tree. So inside
an acorn
that
tree?
Seed, yeah. let's say the acorn
tree?
Fell. Is it an oak tree? Good. I like to know that. I'm not.
So, I love that.
You know, chicken licking and the acorn falls on his head. Yeah. I love that story. So, you know, the sky is falling on my head. So, yeah, I love it. It's just very appropriate to what I'm about to say. So you've got that seed, and that seed has all the knowledge of how to turn into that big tree over there.
Mm-hmm.
Another
exactly.
palm tree behind me. You can talk about coconuts then. but all the knowledge of how to become that big tree is in that tiny seed.
Yeah.
And then think of how our planet works. Everything that is here is working together to create this experience on this planet. So it's all these intricate designs creating one cohesive design.
Hmm. Yeah, it's humbling. It's the word I like using.
One of the more fascinating ways to look at it, in my opinion, is through the mathematics of what are called fractals.
Yes. And
for those who aren't familiar with fractals, there's a branch of mathematics that has to do with doing repetitive calculations. And when you do that using a computer on a massive scale, you find patterns within patterns within patterns.
Yes.
And when you start noticing that on a larger scale, you'll see, for instance, that the leaf of an oak tree, to bring up the example of the oak tree, is shaped very much like the tree. It has the same shape to it. And that kind of patterning happens over and over and over again in so many areas of life that it's kind of like we have this constant reminder. Everything truly is connected. Everything really is the microcosm of the macrocosm, to mm-hmm. use the terminology you're using right now. How exciting is that? It just makes the whole thing feel like I am a part of it. I keep coming back to that.
Exactly. You have your own individuality as well as a connectedness to everything.
Exactly. Exactly. I remember trying to explain early on with my podcast, I'm saying years ago, my view that we are both a part of the whole and individuals, and that there's no contradiction between that, because often people will say, well, it's one or the other. You know, you're either part of a whole or else you're an individual. There's no such thing as an individual as part of a whole. Well, guess what?
when I was young and chatting to philosophers, I kept on saying, but I agree with that, I agree with that. And I was like, oh, well, there isn't a third philosophy. It's either this or that.
Yes, right. You must choose A or B.
I've always been rather annoyed with people that tell me, you know, you've either got this choice or that choice. I said, no.
There's limitless choices.
Let me break this down for you. You know, if I don't do anything, that's a choice. You know, if I do something, it's a choice. And if I do it this way, it's a choice. If I do it that way, it's a choice. So I go on and on and on. So do I have more than two choices? Yes. I don't let anybody tell me that anymore, even when I do it to my daughter. You either do this or you do that. No, I can't say that.
That's when it gets thrown back in your face, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, your own father is saying,
yes.
Oh, my goodness. This is actually a great description, not description, an example, what we're going through here as we talk about this stuff, of how cool it is to focus on what you like, because we bring up all these, we brought up two or three different possible forms of objection that people will mention. You know, you have to pick between A and B. You have to believe in external God. You have to believe in, you know, whatever it is. There's a whole bunch of these things. And every time that we basically break through and say, no way, we are also laughing at it at the same time. Yes. I wanted to bring that point to the fore, because that ability to laugh, first of all, it's a wonderful human skill to have, to be able to laugh.
Humor is key.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's also a great way to gain what Louis was talking about earlier, alignment. Alignment.
Yes.
Humor, is there a better way to get there quicker?
No.
I can't think of one. There might be one, but I'm just not grabbing one right now in my mind anyway.
For me, humor is the quickest energetic shift. I can be brooding. Something has happened and my kid, something will happen that will make me laugh, and it completely shifts the energy immediately.
Yeah.
Because in that moment, I realize I'm taking things way too serious and I'm locked up in my own mental maze going on up there, and it just frees me from it.
Like our friend Dan McGainis says, nothing serious going on here. Not happening.
That is a huge block for humans, is they're taking it way too serious. Life is serious, but you can't take it too seriously. You have to be playful. You have to be open to laughing and finding the humor and finding the joy, and even some of the things that you're like, I can't believe that happened, but can I? So, you know, learning to laugh. I laugh mostly at myself. And then I enjoy laughing at others.
Well, I think everybody likes laughing at others.
I really love laughing at myself. I make fun of myself all the time. It's a way of me counteracting that need to be that perfectionism, because I used to be that person who really focused on, I got my validation through excelling at things. And I never allowed myself to appreciate once I did attain that goal, it was on to the next thing. And that's really no way to live, not really appreciating what I'm attaining and the joy of it.
That's true.
There was a lady in the sauna, and I was explaining the basics of LOA, et cetera, and she was really getting it and says, you know, it's really true. I really agree with everything you say. If you work hard at it. And I just laughed.
Worst words you can say to Louis.
I said to her, can I rephrase your last sentence for you? She said, okay. I said, wouldn't it be nice to play with it?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds better. That feels better. I said, yeah, go with that one instead. I said, this idea of working hard, playing, working hard and studying hard and all the rest of it, that's your parents' generation stuff, which never worked then and still doesn't work now. Give it up.
Yeah, being playful is much more productive because Absolutely. You're enjoying it.
If you're relaxed, you make so much better decisions, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, so true. So true. Yeah. You want to screw things up with whatever you're working on, your job, your project, your hobby, whatever it is, work hard at it. That'll do a real great job of just
the harder you work is the harder you're going to have to work, and the more you're going to hate it.
The law of attraction will just amplify the word hard for you.
Yeah.
Hardly. Hey, I want to make sure before we completely run out of time here that I mention once again the LOA Today app, because I'd like to get that into every single podcast that we do and every single episode we do. It has a number of goodies in there, and that's one of the reasons we want you to download it. But mainly it also has the question form where you can actually send questions or comments like Amy, or like Deborah and Barbie did today, to us, to myself and my co-hosts and all the shows that we do 5 days a week here. And guess what? We'll actually bring your question or your comment up on the show. It creates wonderful basis for discussion, and every single one of my co-hosts loves it when we get a comment from a listener. I mean, just kind of picks you right up. Talk about getting into alignment, right? Snap. Yes. It just bounces you right in.
And it's really nice to answer or speak to people about what they want to know about.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we can talk to each other here till the cows come home and enjoy it immensely. But when we know that we're able to address something specific that a listener wants to know about, it just makes it so much sweeter.
It amplifies the meaning, the purpose, the fun.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So take advantage of the form of the LOA Today app.
Watching that Deborah's video about the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, look at that. You actually got some feedback from a listener that's going to guide you perhaps toward your goal, which is you got, you know, what'd you say? You've got halfway there in terms of getting rid of your glasses.
Yeah, I improved my sight by more than half, but I want to go the rest of the way. I want to be 20, what is it? 20, 20.
Well, yeah, 2020 is minimum. 2010 is better. I mean, if you can do 21, what that basically means is 2020 means that you can read 20-point type from 20 feet away.
Ah, right. Okay.
So 2010 would be reading 10-point type.
No, I don't want to be average. I want to be more than average.
You overachiever, you.
So go for 2010.
Come on.
You know, why not? Good stuff, guys. All right. Well, thank you very much. And Amy, it's been great having you back. We're looking forward to continuing you being a part of the show, but we missed
you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's so good to be back and to be in the space to be here.
And thank you, Louis. Thank you, live streamers. Thank you especially to our podcast listeners as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Bye.